Hi, everyone. This is Renee Prince from Voices. Before COVID-19, we were working toward our second annual Women's Voices Theater project, planning to perform this very weekend. 8 local women taking the stage with work they created. This is important because women's work is produced 1/5 as often as men's on stage, and we simply aren't hearing women's stories enough. So even though we've had to postpone the project to Mother's Day 2021, we decided to put together a short podcast of our voices, our stories, our experiences with this collective pause. The voices you will hear are those of Susie Brady, Vanessa Porras, Renee Prince, Natalie Spears, Marsha Weiss, and Minsa Wu. Thank you so much for listening.
Collective pause. In the midst of this pandemic, when the entire world is in a pause, I watch my mind jump, taking my body with it. It moves like a faulty pinball machine in a noisy arcade, jumping the tracks, bouncing off the glass case and the flippers. Blinding lights flash, deafening bells ring. All my nerves are on edge. What if this? What if that? My son is working on the front lines as a healthcare provider 2,000 miles away. Will he be safe? Will he survive? I imagine the worst, and grief wears me like a heavy wet blanket, a straitjacket. I am consumed by these ricocheting thoughts. Then I sit like a mountain and breathe in, one breath at a time. My mind settles for a few moments. I send loving kindness out into the world. I touch everyone in every corner across the globe, in every crowded apartment, down every dusty street, in the far reaches of remote towns, villages, hamlets, in the bowels of the densest cities. We are all in the same predicament. We are all in a collective pause. You are me, and I am you. I am moved by the connection, overcome. Then I bounce back into how, why, where, when. Will I ever see my grandchildren again in the flesh, not just on FaceTime? Will we snuggle under the covers each morning during my visits, laughing about little nothings, which, it turns out, are big everythings? Can I take one day at a time, as I have so often been instructed to do? Can I accept this crisis as my teacher? Crisis is defined by some cultures as danger plus opportunity. One breath at a time is all we truly know. One breath at a time. As I watch my garden, remember that it is time to grow again. As I watch the birds find bits of fluff to line their nests, to soften the harsh reality. Here and now is the true miracle. Here and now is the true pause. I am this. You are this. We are one.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping.
At first, there was space. Space to quiet down, to tune out, to feel everything around me, big and small, coming to a halt. Except for the clock and my own racing thoughts. Then I start to fill up the space with the usual bits and pieces of life, with a yearning to conquer something holy to suit the extraordinary of the time. As if this is when we should reinvent motions, reacquire fantasies, reset. But it is not possible to just remain oneself, me and the rest of our species in this uncharted territory, minds pounding, trying to find the truth, trying to grasp the truth, to respond, trying to find words. New expression that could stretch from elation to despair. Despair, I understand. The number speaks horror. But elation, joy? In the time of coronavirus, in what form does it come? In what space does it exist? Even Broadway is dim now. This stage has never been quieter before. The operas, the symphonies, the songs and tunes received only from screen. They call it cyberspace. It is awfully crowded now. And so I fell silent. My words and my voice inconsequential. Unless, when I speak, it is not about me, but you, your pain, your despair, your need to be heard.
Mom, the power went out yesterday, and it woke Augie. He's never been able to sleep in total darkness, and when his nightlight went out, he woke up screaming. But we carried him upstairs, and he was enchanted by the candles and the way the candlelight created shadows everywhere in the house. He kept prancing back and forth between John and I, full of magic. He was like a sprightly little elf, eyes gleaming with toddler mischief. He was awake with Mom and Dad in the middle of the night. No bedtime. The normal rules don't apply. The house lit by candlelight, and you get to eat cookies and snuggle in your pajamas. I don't have many clear memories from my childhood. I think because we moved so much and everything was in a constant state of change, and for me, worry. I worried so much as a kid. But I do remember that night in Mississippi when the power went out. Ryan and I must have been in second grade. Lydia and Debbie were still home with us, busy teenagers, and Lori was just starting kindergarten. We were living in that big old white house up the street from Granny. And it must have been wintertime because we were all huddled in the living room under sleeping bags and blankets. We played a lot of board games, I remember. And I remember the taste of hot chocolate and how Dad's smile seemed to warm the whole room. Augie reminds me so much of Dad. They bring light with them wherever they go. I'm so tired, Mom. I'm afraid I'm not going to remember any of this because I'm just so exhausted and worried. And I want to be brave enough and awake enough to remember what this time was like. This time when the world stopped. Did you know that when a caterpillar sinks into its chrysalis, its body liquefies? Its form melts away. It falls completely apart. I imagine that descending into that womb-like space must be terrifying because the caterpillar can't possibly imagine that on the other side of that journey, she will be a butterfly, that she didn't even have any parts of butterfly inside her before the chrysalis, that the falling apart is the place where even the idea of butterfly is born, that without it, there never was and never will be butterfly. Butterfly is created because everything else falls apart. I don't know how you did this with five of us, Mom. Carting us all around the globe every few years, packing and moving and settling and building, then taking everything apart and packing and moving and building again and again and again. You are an expert at metamorphosis. And I want you to know that although I don't remember much from my childhood, I do remember feeling wanted and feeling loved. That there was never once in my entire life when I felt unloved. I do remember that. And that's a memory you can build a life on. That's a memory I have built my life on. Your love sustains and maintains even when everything else is falling apart. And I wondered, does the butterfly remember the caterpillar it once was? Or is the cool morning air on its wings simply enough?
My name is Natalie Spears. I'm a musician and I've lived in Carbondale for the past 10 years, and I've been asked to share what this collective pause has been like for me. I've honestly had such a hard time wrapping my mind around what is happening, and I read the news and feel so deeply saddened by the harm that the virus is causing and feel sad about the damaging ripple effects that it's going to have on the world in the future. And I simultaneously feel grateful for the pause that we are being asked to take. It's really shifted my life a lot, as it's shifted everyone's life. I'm a performing musician, and all gigs have dried up for the foreseeable future. And that has left a void for me, which has affected my creative process. Performing is a big motivator for me. It helps me stay focused and generate new material. And without it, I am left with this space that at times makes me feel really adrift, and I'm unsure of what my identity is, which is strange. But this space has been really beautiful. I think I am grateful to be living a life as a self-employed artist, but it's also hard. And I'm so used to generating for performances, and that sometimes my creative process is censored because I know what I am creating is going to be performed in front of people. And so having all of this space right now to take a step back and live more slowly has been really nourishing. I've been spending a lot of my days going on walks and listening to the birds and planting seeds and greeting the new plants that are coming up in the spring. And there's a stillness that is present in my life that wasn't before. And it's giving me a new place to pull from for inspiration. Songwriting is my main medium of expression. It's how I understand what is going on in the world and how I grapple with my, you know, inner emotions. And not having any performances on the books is giving me more space to create from an uncensored place. And I feel so grateful for that. My process for songwriting involves collecting song ideas, and I store them in the Voice Memos app on my phone. I collect lyrics and melodies and rhythms, and then I come back to them later and try to sculpt them into songs. Sometimes I get lucky and I get a full song in one, but that's rare. Although it did happen the other day. But a lot of what I've been thinking about with this virus is the concept of hope and how we hold on to hope when the world is so bleak. And the other day when I went digging through my voice memos, this bass riff came up that I had created a few months ago. And I started humming it in my head and picked up the bass and was playing around with it. And then all of a sudden, these words started showing up around this concept of hope. So I'm going to share with you all this song that I have been working on. Enjoy.
There's a virus running in our midst, a vicious hurricane. It's tearing at the walls we've built that keep us straight and sane. It's toppling the dominoes, they're falling one by one. It's crumbling all we know against the setting sun. Hold on to the hope you've got and keep it close to you. It's an ember burning in the night, shepherding us through. The rains come and the winds do blow and the ground it roars and shakes. But that little ember burning bright keeps alive the faith, keeps alive the faith.
I've been in isolation for as long as I have been aware of my position as a brain inside of a human. Dedicated to overthinking every social interaction, examining my own headspace, determined to find something wrong with it, rejecting intuition and refusing to relate to those around me. Full of shame, I truly believed I preferred the company of myself. It never seemed to be a taxing way to live, even when I allowed certain boyfriends to become my entire world. Only in reflection did I realize we teach people how to treat us. We accept the love we think we deserve. It really just becomes a matter of mustering the strength to face the world and the self-respect to accept yourself as you appear. Needless to say, this is not my first quarantine. It's amazing the way I've returned to such a natural state. Staying up into the night, sleeping well into the day, consuming television as if it's a substitute for actual sustenance. There is less guilt involved this time because it's not my choice. I won't miss out on anything if half the planet is in the same boat, right? We live in a world we have so little control over. So it's extremely important to remember we still have the ability to choose. The debate regarding whether or not we actually have free will is irrelevant as long as the illusion of choice exists in our minds. As long as a productive and satisfying day can begin hours before with an early night, with the choice to go to bed at a time that would have pleased your mother when you were 10. There's hope. We have hope as long as we reach out and make contact with one another in whatever capacity available. Even if that means sticking your head out of a window and making outrageous noise with your neighbors every evening. I think back to my senior year of high school, when social intuition clicked, when everyone could lay down their arms, together moving on to the next great adventure, living in the real world, and meshing together in the attitude that is universally envied by underclassmen. Worldwide, this is not the experience for 17 and 18-year-olds this year. Some proms will be postponed till November. But the anticipation of being beyond the school halls will not happen within those walls, or amongst the other people on the brink of adulthood. Next year, students will take pause in a room full of exchanging yearbooks and think, the seniors didn't get to do this last year. The real question in all of this is, of course, what have we learned? During the worldwide vacation from life, not only was the natural color of the sky reestablished, but also we were all forced to take a giant step back and reassess what we wish to be doing with our lives. Because we have been given the gift of unencumbered time. And the occupation of that time is self-evident. What is it that took up the majority of your days? If you're not satisfied with your answer, it's going to take a little while longer for adequate testing to become available. One can only run into the woods until they are halfway through. Then they're running out of the woods. What would you like to see on the way out of this? It's easy to be optimistic about the future when there's plenty of time to get there, the way you imagine the person you would be as a grown-up in the fifth grade. So the next step is to start as we mean to go on, to make the next right decision, to seize this moment, and to begin doing what we want to be doing, to simply be the people we want to be. But I can't speak for anyone else. What I know is this is my final quarantine. I still have time to become a person I admire.
Oda a mi madre, the house elf. Mami, te cuento about the house elves. Eres como ellos. Do you know about them? Magical criaturas de los cuentos de Harry Potter. Que you haven't seen them? Quizá because no one los ve. I ask you, mami, ¿cuándo fue the last time que descansaste? Te invito, sit with me, ven. I'll tell you about them. Between parpadeos, uno más largo que el otro, you fall asleep. Y cuando your hands are tranquilas, I ask you, ¿qué sueñas, mami? Aún atentas, I take your hands entre las mías and they ask me, si I'm embarrassed de ti, por ser una house elf, for not having un título, porque this is not éxito. Pero don't they know que sin una wand conviertes with your magic lo sucio en limpio, dark to light, cambias la energy de room en room better que una witch o mago alguno, que you are not simplemente una house elf. Tú eres esencial. You are servicio a tus fellow men and women. Tú sabes triunfar. You have taught me que todo cabe en un little jar sabiéndolo acomodar. If there was un campeonato de Tetris, I'd bet everything I have on you, porque sé que vas a ganar. Ocultas tu magic so as not to make them look bad. You say que con solo vinagre y agua se puede limpiar. But I swear que the sun brilla differently dentro de esta sala. Mija, haga el periódico bolita y así le talla. Y don't try to fool me. Dices que es solo el Swiffer, pero I've seen you dust. Desenredas cobwebs como hilo dental, the vacuum to the floor como imán al metal. La velocidad when you move desafía all laws of physics. I see you climb entre escaleras y balconies in the attico, challenging gravity just the same, por no dejar dust bunnies on the blades del abanico. Y pásame la escoba que tengo que barrer el cielo rústico. Embarrassed? Ni tantito. Mami, you are essential. Like you, quisiera hacer magic con mis manos. I want to make una cama with the love con el que la cubres. Quisiera hacer mi job with purpose como tú haces el tuyo. Tú, house elf, criatura de infinite magic, tú que llevas holes y Clorox stains en tu camisa, tú con cracked fingers y uñas partidas. Hoy vistes un uniform diferente. The mask que llevas puesta será suficiente? Tus hands, tan tuyas como mías. You cover them con guantes, día tras días. Vienes y te vas, and they don't see you. Pero my eyes are puestos en ti, que soy yo who admires you. There is nothing more essential que tenerte aquí.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thank you to Jennifer Johnson, who did our sound editing. Thank you to everyone who is working so hard to keep us safe, healthy, and connected. And finally, a special thanks to all of the mothers who weave the fabric of our community in your daily acts of service, love, and courage. If you'd like to learn more about the Women's Voices Project, please visit amplifyingvoices.org. That's amplifyingvoices.org.